This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back hour number two, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Getting information you can use as we go along the way. A lot of people clamoring to get the Dr. Nick was speaking about information so they can follow him. Nick will get that to you, and we're doing our best to even possibly get him on the show live.
At Yale Tongue, Y-A-L-E-T-U-N-G, Y-A-L-E-T-U-N-G, and I'm tweeting it out right now from at the producer Nick. I think everybody should follow him just for some perspective and see, because he is an MD. He is confirmed to have the coronavirus. And what better person to speak to than a medical doctor who actually has it and is experiencing the symptoms? He's on day four right now.
Yeah, we got people texting in. Look, 8244 is all over this. I don't know if they're a medical professional or not. But as I said, when I said that it could be transmitted via droplets, they're saying that the droplets are airborne, sneezed, or coughed droplets. Those droplets can also land on surfaces, and then the virus can persist for 5 days at room temperature and humidity. Thank you for that. Again, one of the main things when people hear coronavirus is they think about dying, because there are deaths associated with this, and that's one of the main statistics people give. In looking at the notes that I got from the doc, he said the risk factors for mortality are if you're over the age of 60, if you're male, or if it involves, and I'm going to probably hack this up, but comorbidities. And I looked it up, and the definition for comorbidity is simultaneous presence of two or more chronic diseases or conditions, like you're dealing with anxiety and depression, or Parkinson's disease and something else. So if you already have a condition, and then you get this, things get more complicated.
Right, because obviously they have to... I guess they have to approach the treatments a bit different. You don't know how certain medication could interact with each other.
And whatever your other issue is, probably has weakened your immune systems, maybe your organs.
Correct.
A lot of different things.
So you may not be ready for additional or more treatment, medication, whatever the case may be. Yeah, that's a scary situation for someone, especially for those who are older. But yeah, I mean... I do know a very common thing as you do age is, or at least people who are on a lot of medication, they have like a list of all the medication that they're on, and they have to like be sure that they can mix. Because apparently, you know, some medication you can absolutely mix and it's no big deal at all. Some medication doesn't require food. You just need to drink a lot of water. It just depends on the situation. So...
And we're getting some good information from not only A244, but others that said, look, those droplets are produced when a person coughs, sneezes, or exhales. Then the bacteria attaches to those droplets. I'm thinking about the gym right now. Raheel and I were talking about it. You and I were talking about it. I've been really diligent about 6 days a week getting back in the gym. But even I talked to the gym people themselves, like, how long are you guys going to be able to stay open? Because you got to have personnel wiping down every machine all the time. They got to have hand sanitizer all over the place. And yet you still... face the fact that from a liability perspective and from just an infection perspective, you are one of the number one areas and places now where you could contract something like this.
Yeah. You know, everybody wanted to think that this was coming. You know, this is, you know, more common in other countries across the world. It really isn't the case. There's multiple countries now. It's obviously prevalent. It's bigger than a lot of the, in terms of numbers of cases being diagnosed, it's bigger than a lot of the other, I guess, pandemics, if for lack of a better term, that we've had in the past. I saw someone like tweet in or text in. There was only 570,000 people that got infected by the swine flu or the bird flu, and this is nothing compared to it, and basically calling me an idiot.
This ain't over with
yet. I don't know if that number is correct, but you're right. You're right. It is bigger.
Like, there's a Benjamin Albright just retweeted it, but there's a apparently drive-through coronavirus testing in Denver, and there's probably at least 250, 300 cars in line. And
hey, that's
the thing. They were saying in China, they somehow were able to get the tests so that they were testing. And I think that Dr. Sasha Gupta was on CNN last night saying that they were doing like tens of thousands of tests a day, and we can't even get 10,000 tests in the country.
So another thing regarding that, there was a representative that she was explaining to someone in whatever congressional hearing that this is how much it costs to get tested, and a lot of I'd heard that insurance companies are waiving those fees now, at least. But she was explaining it to, I'm trying to find the tweet, but basically who she was telling it to, he's like, okay, so we'll change that to where we can at least get free testing for everyone. So they're going to cover the cost of it at least.
That's good. I mean, I'm all for it. I like the drive-through idea too. I think that's even better.
Yeah, just any way that they can get the test as quickly as and easily as possible is what has to be done. The other thing that I thought appropriate is, people are wondering all the symptoms. It's fever, dry cough, fatigue, shortness of breath. Less common but still prevalent, sore throat, headache, productive cough, diarrhea. And you mentioned that your doctor...
He had diarrhea that started on day 3 for him. So, and that's kind of one of the questions I want to ask is what... You know, he's obviously on day 4 going into day 5. How does this virus progress over the course of, I don't know, 10, 12, or 14 days? And I think that's an important question.
Yeah,
like, how
right
do you
here.
Treat it in day 3 versus how do you treat it if you're already at day 11, considering you might be a person that doesn't show symptoms until the second week?
And one of the other things he says to me is symptoms appear 2 to 14 days after your actual exposure through the droplets. So you can get it and won't know you have it for 2 or 3 days before the symptoms start to pop up.
And the worst thing about it is that these symptoms are very common symptoms. They're like symptoms you would get if you had a cold or a flu.
Yes.
It's very, very, if you have a cough, don't assume you just have a cough or a cold. You might have something else. All these little basic symptoms you need to take more seriously than normal. So just get your, and the only way you do that is if you go to the doctor or get tested. So far,
I have a doctor buddy, and I was talking to him about this. He actually has, they have guidelines for who they will test and who they won't.
Okay.
So you have to meet certain criteria to actually get that. So basically, if you have fever or signs of symptoms of lower respiratory illness and any person who has had close contact with a confirmed coronavirus patient within 14 symptoms, you get tested. If you have fever and symptoms of the respiratory illness and you have a history of travel to affected areas, you get tested. If you have fever and acute respiratory illness and you have no source of exposure had been identified, they're going to test you. But you have to meet all those criteria to get the test.
All right. Cool. Real quick, breaking news from your boy, Jeff Passan, Joel.
Yeah.
Major League Baseball has officially suspended spring training games and will delay the start of the regular season by at least 2 weeks.
Ken Rosenthal did that, too. I'd like to give him better credit.
Okay. Well, then let's give credit to Ken Rosenthal because he has a better looking blue check.
Yeah, and he's nicer to the Astros. You know what's funny, and we can talk about this next. When you try to look at who's in terms of this and dealing with this, is there a situation where it's difficult to talk about? But if you're the Houston Astros dealing with all this, and now with baseball suspending games,
it's an ideal situation.
It's not a bad situation to be in based on all you've been dealing with all of spring training and in the offseason. So we can talk about that a little bit next. We've got plenty more to get to as we roll through hour number 2 of the 3-hour extravaganza we call the Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5. Right now, I want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. I don't know if you've been dealing with roofing issues lately. You've been thinking about putting a new roof on your house, or better yet, maybe you've, with the rain that we had recently, found out you had a leak in your roof. Well, there's only one place to call. It's Fitz Roofing. Because there's not like all these deposit thieves, storm chasers, sketchy roofers, get your money up front, don't do great work, disappear. You can never find them and you never get the job done right. They're the top quality roofers in the Houston area. They use the best product in the business, CertainTeed Shingles. So much so that they are a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master Company. Only 1% of the roofers in the entire United States meet the criteria to get that status. They got it. You need it. You go to Fitz. Simply put, their base warranties longer and better than your average roofer in the Houston area. On top of that, they got the ratings to back up that they do great work. A-plus ratings on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor. Why would you go anywhere else? Check them out at FITZRoofing.com, or better yet, call them 832-521-3001. 832-521-3001. You call, you get a free no obligation inspection today. They come to you, they show you what they can do, and then they go away. You want them to come back? Just reach back out. They're going to come back out, do great work, and take care of everything along the way. I'm telling you, I believe in these people because they know what they're doing and they take care of Houstonians. It's Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, again, asking you shall receive. I was inquiring about the UIL State Tournament that is scheduled for this weekend and I believe is already underway to some degree. And we got this for immediate release from the UIL. Due to growing concerns over the coronavirus, the remainder of the UIL Boys State Basketball Tournament is suspended until further notice. The decision is effective upon the conclusion of the 3A session, March 12th of 2020. Refunds will be given. And after much consultation with government and health officials, we have made the difficult decision to postpone the remainder of the UIL State Basketball Tournament. Our number one priority remains the well-being of our student-athletes and spectators. We're taking every possible precaution to keep them safe.
I mean, it's becoming more and more of an obvious decision. I mean, it seems to me as more of this news is coming out, the decision to be made to cancel everything is becoming easier and easier. Does it not seem that way? I mean, if you're looking
it should be, right?
If you're looking at the president or the commissioner next to you, and he's sitting here canceling all this stuff, losing all this money, how are you not someone who's a leader and not looking at it and saying, you know what, it's time to move on?
It should be easier, but we already know. There are people thinking about the financial aspects in front of everything else, and that's why it's not as easy as it seems. Can I also state that in this final paragraph of the UIL statement, should they not say no pun intended if they open up the third paragraph with this is a fluid situation? We've already identified that in more ways than one. Also, by the way, because we're dog lovers around here, the WHO or World Health Organization has announced and made it official, dogs cannot contract the virus. Dogs previously were being quarantined because there was questions about not only could they contract it, could they spread it? Now they are all being released. And to be clear, the WHO, which is who let the dogs out.
Those jokes have been all over Twitter.
Yes,
by the
they
way.
Have. And all. I had to use the dad joke, of course.
Your boy AJ Hoffman, though, I'm right on Twitter. I'm riding with Bethune Cookman minus three. MEAC, the Mid-Atlantic Conference, ain't scared. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. He's been like tweeting out, like, I feel like he's been tweeting out these fake plays for like the better half of an hour, just
because if anybody's, you know,
when you're a gambler, you're a gambler.
Now, I do want to know too, because El Jefe, when the rodeo canceled everything yesterday, El Jefe was out there talking about getting floor seats at a really cheap price for a really big concert coming up. And I was like, boy, I hope you're kidding. And other people were like, no, he's not. I was like, well, boy, I hope you get a refund because that's not going to happen.
Yeah. God, that's just, everything's getting impacted. I did like how at the rodeo they were like riding around with golf carts and just like making the announcement, hey, it's going to close at 4 o'clock. Don't panic. But we're closing because of the coronavirus at 4 o'clock. Don't panic.
You're right. That's the thing too. And we talked about this. Tyler, you're an Astros fan. We're Astros fans. But I mean, in the grand scheme of things from a baseball perspective, this makes it a whole lot easier for the Astros going forward. Because you think about it, road games in which you would have been heckled unmercifully the entire game. Either they're going to be played without fans in the stands, or because you're going to be stepping away for a significant amount of time, people are going to be so excited that baseball's back, they may be less apt to hammer on the Astros.
Yes.
When the games are played.
And so, for them right now, them not being able to worry about a fan heckling them would probably be a breath of fresh air, I would imagine, for this roster. I mean,
we've heard about how much scrutiny they're facing. We've had writers talk about how that locker room is just so volatile right now and so teetering because of all of the stress and all the pressure. And let's also not forget Justin Verlander and his arm issue. He said it would take a miracle for him to be ready for opening day.
This gives him some time.
This buys time for him.
This qualifies as a
miracle.
No,
I'm not saying it's a miracle. I'm just saying that was his statement. But at the same time, all kidding aside, when you look at just from an Astros perspective, this buys time so Verlander may be actually ready when opening day does come.
Well, this buys time for some of the people who are injured in the NBA. How about Ben Simmons? How about Joel Embiid? How about some of the players? I mean, if they're suspending this with the intention of hopefully the postseason could resume or could start at one point this year, then this buys time for everybody.
And we are not trying to belittle everything going on at all. We're just throwing different things perspectively on, like, when sports does pick up again, because we know it is such a distraction and it is such a way for people to get lost in other things when everything's going bad like it is going now and everything is so serious. The bigger thing is when sports pick up is when you want the playoffs to take place, as we mentioned, even with the NBA, because if they do scrap, as I've recommended, the rest of the regular season, just pick it up with the playoffs, you want everybody to be healthy so that you have the best chance to win. Your team going in, whether you're a 6 seed, an 8 seed, or a 1 seed, you just want to have the best players available. That's what this should do for you. Obviously, you're still going to practice, and you run the risk of, you know, having a guy get hurt. But the chances are far less than if you were still in the grind of an NBA schedule, a regular season schedule. So like you said, if the Sixers get into the playoffs, regardless of what seed they are, if they have their two best players, they have a better chance to win. And at the end of the day, you don't want to – I mean, you can beat a team, but you don't want to beat a team and go, yeah, we beat that team, but they didn't have their two best players.
Right. And I think that's – you don't want to have to worry about – I mean, look, you don't want any, like, fair excuses or anything like that. But I'll tell you what, I'm looking at this map of – everything, a map of the United States showing where all the reported cases are.
Yeah.
And who you said, who was the first team that pulled out of the NCAA tournament?
Kansas.
They're the only ones on this map with one case.
Huh.
Supposedly, though, Schefter tweeted an update. They are still technically in the tournament. They have only suspended, supposedly, the wording on it is weird.
Okay.
So, update, KU not pulling itself out. It has suspended its sports program, but it's not out of the tournament.
Okay. So this is a lot of to be determined. This is basically a pending type of status.
Yeah, we talked
for most
about
of it.
It's semantics in the wording so that they leave the option open if, you know, again, somehow, some way they're able to get their arms around this virus enough to kind of contain it, that they're not going to, you know, put themselves out of it for just their own statements. But at the same time, they're doing the right thing for now and pulling out. Duke did the same thing. And Duke has left the option open, I think, if everything gets under control. So it'll be interesting to see how it all goes. PGA Tour, the Players Championship is this weekend. As of this morning, people and fans were on the course and players were playing. They've now made the decision, I think, halfway through today's first round of the tournament, that the tournament will continue. But as of this point, no more fans will be on the course or on the premise when they're playing the game.
Just so like that.
The golf.
Regarding that, their policy went into effect. I was talking about it with a buddy who wants to get Masters tickets.
Yeah.
Their policy is no fans until or through the Valero Open, which is the week before the Masters. So if this thing goes long, then they may take away fans, take away the gallery at the Masters.
And I've said to you guys over and over again, in terms of you can listen to Jim Nantz and you can talk about the Masters, whether you're a golf fan or not, it is the hardest, toughest ticket to get in sports. And it's one of the bucket list sporting events that everybody has to see. That's a big deal, too.
It's funny that it's happening in the middle, like, because there was that, which one? It was the Big East game at Madison Square Garden. They played the first half. And then they canceled the game in the middle of the game.
Oh, did they? I didn't see that.
Yeah, I think it was St. John's, but I can't remember the other team. I'm trying to remember. Whoever St. John's played.
Yeah, they canceled the tournament. Yeah.
It was St. John's versus Creighton, and they literally canceled in the middle of the game. They had already started the game, tip off and everything, and they literally canceled in the middle of the game.
Well, you had people last night questioning why the Kings game was canceled because they didn't have anybody that tested positive. And what they were looking past was one of the officials scheduled to do the Kings game last night was one of the officials that had reffed a Utah game in the past 5 days. So the chance was there. And again, bordering on the side of caution, they decided to cancel. Smart move, right move. Absolutely the right move for the NBA.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what else there is to do at this point, but wait.
Yeah, you just have to wait it out. You have to do the right thing. You border on the cautious side. You take all the preventative measures you can. And then, like we said, based on the symptoms, with a lot of people thinking that if you get this thing, you're going to die, we gave you even the possibilities of what are the major symptoms for that being a possibility. So we're trying to get you all the information we can. Lenny tweeted and said, if the playoffs start today, where would the Rockets be with their current standings? They'd be the sixth seed.
Oh, yeah, sixth seed.
So they'd be taking on the Denver Nuggets. They would not have home court advantage. But I think that they would beat the Denver Nuggets. And then from there, they would play the winner of the Clippers-Mavericks series.
The winner of 3-5 or
1-8? That would be 2-7. So they would play...
They're the sixth seed. My bad.
The sixth seed. So if they were to beat the 3 seed, then they would play the winner of the Clippers-Mavs
Correct.
Series.
Yes.
And then if they would get by that, they would play... presumably the Lakers, who have just a cakewalk of a schedule. They'd play Memphis, I think, in the first round. They would play the winner of Utah and Oklahoma City in the second round. And then they would get to the conference finals to take on the winner of the other side, which would feature the Clippers, Rockets, and Nuggets.
And it looks like Coach Sampson is addressing the media right now as I see Joseph Duarte tweeting out videos. And it looks like he believes... According to this tweet, that he believes that the entire tournament is going to get canceled. So, I mean, I think that says a lot coming from Coach Sampson. I mean,
sure.
I think he's probably getting vibes that we may not be getting. Is my point.
Yeah, and when we were talking about testing, guys, someone texted in to back up my point, which was in China, South Korea, other countries that have been dealing with the virus, they've been testing up to 10,000 people a day, and here in this country, they can't get 10,000 tests out quick enough. So yeah. Hopefully they get on that quicker, sooner rather than later. That would be ideal. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. We got one half in the books. We still got a second half of the show to go. Don't go anywhere. It's the second half coming up next. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Here comes the second half of the show. Shout-outs to Revelry on Richmond. They are great. Friends of the station, every year around March Madness, we make an appearance, Revelry on Richmond. So obviously, with the circumstances as they may be, we may or may not be broadcasting live from there. But whether we do or not, you should stop in there because it is not just a great place to unwind and hang out and have some fun with a lot of big TVs and a lot of fun things to do. But the food is fantastic. They just brought so many different entrees to us. And just walking out in our open area to smell it, you're like engulfed in like, wow, that smells amazing. It looks great. It tastes great. We love the people at Revelry on Richmond. So if you get a chance, stop in, see them, and they're going to take good care of you.
Been there many times. Yeah. The food is great. I believe they are revamping the menu right now to make it even better than it already was. I've had wings. I've had burgers there. I don't even know what they've done to improve it, but I guarantee you whatever it is that they've done, it's going to taste absolutely good. So definitely stop by, for sure.
Can I bring up something, getting back to the Gobert situation, that also I think kind of lends itself to the people not taking this as serious as they probably should have. He had flu-like symptoms. They said after, you know, a little bit. But he took the test as a precautionary measure. They were waiting on results. If they hadn't gotten those results, and or if they hadn't got the results that said he tested positive, he was going to play last night.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure, and I'm not accusing him of this. We don't know if he's the one who made the suggestion to get the test or someone on the medical staff suggested to take the test. Maybe they saw the symptoms or heard him cough and said, you know what, just for we're not saying you have anything, Rudy, but we're going to test you.
So we take all these things into consideration, and we talk about the two guys that tested positive, and that's Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. If Gobert decides to try and play, now he's in the arena. So now everybody in that building is in play.
If he decides to try and play.
Because he said he was going to think, like I said, until that test came back and the results they had, he was going to go to the building and play.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
So instead, they held him back at the hotel. Donovan Mitchell was still in the building. Donovan Mitchell was still on the floor. Donovan Mitchell, whether it would be, I don't know if it was for their shoot around or he wanted to get extra shots up, he went to a high school in OKC yesterday, got shots up, was gracious enough to take pictures with the fans. He was around a lot of people. Man.
Yeah. Obviously, Rudy Gobert probably feels pretty bad because now the joke doesn't look too good, but I think it's a bit of a culture clash situation, in my opinion. You know, I feel like in other cultures, you could probably get away with something like that. I really believe so. As a matter of fact, I think you put a story about a student, a very young man, who's trying to make a business out of this whole
how about that?
Coronavirus situation. And it seems like his parents are almost enabling him. So what's the story exactly? Because you're the one who put it. Apparently, he's selling... He's selling hand sanitizer
squirts
by the squirt by the squirt for 64 cents each.
Yeah.
He's made a whopping $11.
But nonetheless, obviously it's a lot better that he's not selling it for like 10 bucks a squirt. But the kids in the United Kingdom, he got sent home from school after selling the squirts of hand sanitizer to his friends at his school.
Not only that, they posted everything on Facebook, and his dad is commenting on the post saying, you know, calling him, I don't know what the hell that was. I'm assuming that was a cough.
I got a tickle in my throat, so I'm trying to,
Okay, but I'm just saying, there was a post, and his dad was basically calling him savvy. There was nearly 198,000 reactions and 98,000 comments on this post. But he eventually got sent home because he was selling students.
I think it's entrepreneurial if you're doing it at a reasonable rate, right? I think when you're looking at when we were talking about people on Amazon selling a $4.50 bottle of hand sanitizer for $89, that's a bit exorbitant.
Yeah. I mean, look, he's a kid, so I'm not going to be hard on a kid. I just think the parents encouraging him is kind of weird. You're not worried that he's selling these... quote unquote squirts of hand sanitizer and possibly catching something. I mean, literally going around and serving sanitizer to a bunch of people. Maybe you don't touch them, but still, that's just weird to me.
Yeah. So lots of leagues following in suit with what's been going on today with cancellations. NCAA tournament, as we said, still seems to be open for games. They haven't made a final announcement yet, but MLB. Looks to be suspending, as we mentioned from two different sources, all spring training games and the start of the regular season. The ATP Tennis Tour has suspended play for 6 weeks. MLS is suspending its season until further notice due to the coronavirus. So you've got all of those leagues checking in and stating that they are not going to be playing games until they have a better understanding and there's a better grasp on everything that's going on right now with the coronavirus.
That's all you're
going
to see on Twitter is suspended, canceled, postponed, you know, TBD. That's all you're going to see right now when it comes down to events, especially in the sport, not in our world of nothing but sports. So,
well, when Barry's here, it's a little less sportsy.
Well, I mean, how would you avoid the coronavirus talk at this point, though?
You can't. I mean, look, early in the week when you guys were hammering on us saying enough about this, we don't want to hear about that crap anymore. Oh. It's not just crap anymore, people.
Oh, people are hitting me up on text and on Twitter. They're asking for that doctor's handle. They want to know more about it. So if you think that If you think that people are not concerned or at least want to educate themselves about it, you're absolutely clueless.
Those of you that are comedians with squirt jokes, you can save them. You can stop texting them. You can stop tweeting them. Yes.
I knew that was going to happen. I did see this. I saw this funny tweet. Jack isn't feeling great about the future is the name of the Twitter. The handle is Jack William RTF. And he tweets out this. Are your kids texting about the coronavirus? And he puts all the acronyms that kids use these days, like BRB, which means be right back. Right. But he says, he puts, instead of it saying, like, he lists all the acronyms, and then he puts, like, he makes it relate to the coronavirus. So BRB meaning be right back. It means breathing really bad. SMH, which normally means shake my hand or shake my head.
Right.
Means sanitize my hands. TTYL, think that you'll live, question mark.
Jeez.
NVM, needs virus meds, which normally means never mind. ROFL, running out of fluids, lame. That's pretty funny, just to make light of the situation, because I don't think it's getting any better for some people, but I thought that was hilarious.
Well, and you wonder, like, because the jokes are going to start coming, but, and obviously Barry would be the one to ask
sure.
When is it too soon? Because we've talked about from 9/11 when Gilbert Gottfried came out way too soon and just faced all kinds of scrutiny.
If you're talking about death and, I guess, you know what? You never know. I mean, someone might make the argument that what I just did was too soon. I don't know. I feel like when it comes down to death directly, that's when it's too soon. Like if your joke is directly linked to someone who just died, I feel like that's too soon.
Well,
wait,
sure.
Is that safe to say?
Safe to say.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, look, you know, people are, if their heart's in the right place, they're trying to do it just to lighten up a very difficult situation. But I don't know that any time right now, until, like we said, there's more understanding of everything that's going on, is the right time to be joking about it. But I get the lighthearted tweets of people trying to soften the mood a bit, because it's been a very serious 24 hours. And the crazy thing is, it started with that Gobert incident, where people really finally were forced to realize how serious this entire situation may be.
Yeah, another question I would have, and maybe Dr. Muntz could, if he joins us tomorrow, could answer this. But we saw Mac Daddy, who tweeted us and said, nurse practitioner in law suggests making sure you have Tylenol 350 milligrams and ibuprofen 200 milligrams on hand to deal with fevers and cough syrup of choice. My question would be, if you are taking those proactive measures, does that in any way hide some of the early symptoms that could tell you, hey, you might have it, and get you to go to a doctor and check? I mean, all those questions could be answered by a medical professional, for sure. But it'll be interesting to see.
Definitely will be. We appreciate you guys hanging with us on this difficult day, trying to make sense of it all and get as much information and discussion as we possibly can. We'll continue to do that, and so hopefully so will you. As we, again, give a shout-out and appreciation to Revelry on Richmond for a little grub on this tough day. Good stuff from them. Good stuff from you. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Wrapping up hour number two of the three-hour show is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry's out, Nick's in. Tyler in for Nick. We appreciate him. We appreciate you, as we are kind of sorting all these things out in the world of sports and otherwise today as it relates to the coronavirus, the cancellations. Pretty much now, most state tournaments in basketball are coming in with cancellations. The NHL looks like they're going to be next to suspend all play. NBA obviously got the whole ball rolling on a larger scale last night after the Jazz Thunder incident at that game. state tournament for boys for the UIL here in Texas has now been suspended. So just kind of giving you the main information as we go and as we get it.
Also, this is just coming from the New York Giants, the statement that they released, I believe, a few minutes ago, where they're banning travel for coaches and scouts. As of today and for the foreseeable future, we have taken our scouts and coaches off the road for pro days and campus workouts. All business travel has been suspended until further notice. So I don't know how this impacts you, Tyler, considering you may or may not go to New York, but the Giants have already made a decision and that they're banning travel by any other coaches or scouts. So I don't know if that means anything. I don't know if that triggers or instigates anything else in terms of New York, but they just released that a few minutes ago. So that's a statement.
What is the protocol, Tyler, for the XFL? Like, you're waiting for the league to make an announcement? Have they at least addressed fans in or not into the buildings? Or because, you know, Nick and I were talking in the break, much like, you know, different sports, how important the revenue is at this point. Because we talked about the NCAA March Madness is going to survive this. It's just a massive moneymaker. But for a first-year league like the XFL, is that something that you have to wait for official word from the league, or is the New York team going to state that no fans are going to be there? How does that work?
I'm not sure. I guess if XFL at the top office,
Oliver Luck's office, right?
They issue whatever statement saying they're going to play the games. I guess they're going
to
play the games.
And you guys are supposed to leave tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yeah.
So, I mean, the time is of the essence. They got to make some kind of decision.
And things could evolve from now on. What time are you leaving tomorrow? In the morning, afternoon?
Well, the team is leaving earlier, and we're flying commercial, so we're getting on a plane at noon.
Okay. So I would imagine
we're going to get there at like 4:30. So we're gonna arrive about 20 minutes after the team.
And the game is Saturday.
So it's probably safe to say that you guys will both learn at the same time in the event that they do prevent you from traveling.
Hopefully they inform us before we get on a plane. Yeah.
XFL, don't go. These guys can go. We don't care.
Well, and you know, the other thing that's unfortunate, but it happened, is U of H, they all got on a bus this morning to go to the AAC tournament in Dallas, and then were informed en route to the tournament.
I believe they were on
the
45,
tournament was canceled.
Right?
I don't know how far out down
that's
they were.
That's what I saw on a tweet.
But, oh, did you? Okay,
that
so
they
there
had
you
to
go.
Make a U-turn. They were on 45, and they had to make a U-turn. So, I mean, that's the problem with a lot of these decisions. It looks like it's not. It looks like they didn't put too much thought in it because of the timing of it. Right, you're in the bus, you're traveling. Guess what? We're not going. You start a game. There's a tip off. Guess what? We're not going to play for the remainder of the game. That's the reason why everything seems so iffy and so, like, you know, not planned for.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's one of those situations. And Coach Sampson was saying, you know, in some of his quotes that since they got back, about the fact that, look, you know, the feelings that he wishes he doesn't have, but it doesn't look like they're going to end up playing these games. It doesn't look like they're going to be able to get these things in. And that's probably good, because it's there are bigger fish to fry right now when we're talking about the fact that you need to handle this from the pandemic standpoint, from from a societal standpoint. So
you gotta hit the source, man. I mean, that's gonna continue to impact the economics if you don't take care of it. And I'm looking at a tweet right now by ABC 13's David Nuno. As of right now, the XFL Roughnecks are still headed to New York tomorrow and are still planning on playing the game. It's not business as usual, but the league is monitoring the situation. So, and that he just tweeted that 2 minutes ago. So,
and obviously for them, like we were talking about, because of the financial ramifications having so much more impact than it would be if it was the NBA or the NCAA, that's when you have to really kind of hyper-focus, and you can't make that quick decision that everybody's looking for, waiting for, expecting, and wanting, because it is a first-year league. And so the money is of the essence.
It's only a 10-game season, right?
Yeah, so 10 games.
Yeah.
You know, think about how well the Roughnecks have been drawing, and they got another home game next weekend.
Yeah. That's got to suck for the Roughnecks, especially being the one undefeated team, especially having all the success with attendance. That, man, that really sucks. But I mean, obviously, they're going to have to take the precautions at some point, too. I feel like it's those type of leagues. It's the XFL. It's the NHL. It's those smaller leagues. They're going to deal with this. They're going to have more pain than the NBA, the NFL, the MLB will ever have just because they're not a bigger – they're just not a bigger league. They're just not.
No doubt. Before we go to break, another friend of the show, suspect, Chuck, wants to get in here, talk about NCAA player eligibility. Chuck, what's going on, man?
Yes, I was just wondering, you know, with baseball and softball – what would they do if they canceled that whole season? Would they redshirt them?
It's an interesting question, Chuck. Thanks for the call. Yeah, that's the other thing that, again, we talk about a governing body like the NCAA who has been all over the map, who has been anything but consistent, who makes a lot of really bad decisions. They're going to have other tough decisions to make than just what to do with their basketball tournament, because he brings up a good point. A lot of universities and a lot of leagues in terms of conferences have decided to not only just scrap their basketball tournaments and postseason right now, but they're getting into the next sport on the list and or other sports right now taking place, like softball, like baseball, like some of these. That's where they're going to have to sit down and say, look, because of what we're dealing with from an overall pandemic situation with the coronavirus, we're going to have to readdress eligibility. We're going to have to address the fact that if a kid doesn't end up playing and it's not because of an injury or not because of his own personal choice to step away from the university, we have to honor the fact that he gets another year of eligibility because of the fact that this was an unforeseen set of circumstances that we've had to deal with.
And I feel like that's an – I mean, unless it's a really difficult decision to make, I feel like it's an easier decision to make. It's clearly not the player's fault. I don't see how you don't give him an extra year.
Well, you say that, Nick, but think about how many times it seemed like the logical decision for the NCAA to make.
And they don't make it.
And they still didn't make it.
It's totally true. It's totally true. But, I mean, I'd be screaming at the top of my lungs, you're not going to take away a year. No, I would not accept that.
Especially if you're talking about a sport where an athlete needs that last year of eligibility so they can try and extend their career into the professional ranks. Baseball, get drafted. Football, get drafted. Basketball, get drafted, right? And all of a sudden, you're not going to be allowed to play your final year because you sat out. And basketball is different because you've already played the season. But like from a baseball perspective, just getting underway, you know, from football coming up, if this thing lasts a long time, you have to be able to do the right thing in this situation.
Not only that, I think athletes would be upset, but how are you? They're going to have to deal with athletes yelling at them. They're going to have to deal with their parents. And sometimes their parents are harder to deal with than the athlete because a lot of times they're viewed as kids and the parents feel like they have to represent and kind of speak for them. It's not just the athletes that are going to be upset. It's the parents of them too. So, another big decision by the NCAA that has to be made.
And again, the NFL, if you're thinking they're not acting swift enough, they don't have to deal with anything other than the fact that they've postponed like league meetings so they don't have all of their personnel from different teams congregating. But they've also been proactive, and the Eagles were one of the first teams to do this, saying that for all pro days and all scouting events, they are no longer sending their scouts. You mentioned the Giants. There's other teams jumping on board too, going, look, the last thing we're going to do is put our people in harm's way. Much like we also give shout-outs to Mark Cuban for taking care of those employees that are going to need some financial assistance and make sure that their payments are still coming in when there aren't games. These are the other things where you commend the organizations that are being proactive and saying, look, I'm not sending my guys on the road. I'm not putting them in a situation where it may be easier for them to contract this. So take that into consideration as we get ready to roll into the final hour of the show. Oh, by the way, in the final hour, the juice is on the loose. And boy, oh boy, he can't contain himself. O.J. Simpson trying to have some fun with this coronavirus, but man, oh man.
I can only imagine what he's putting on his Twitter.
Bro.
I followed him a little bit, and then I had to give him the old unfollow. I couldn't help myself.
Two separate issues that he posted on social media. I'm telling you, he's gotten more than the ire up on some people over these things. We'll get to that in the final hour of the show. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.